Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Thank you very much for joining us again. And if it's your first time, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer, with me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling?
Tell you what, I'm feeling cold. Minus 40 again here. It's the end of February, which means, of course, fourth winter, which here in Canada we are just entering. Why the fuck do I live here? I honestly have no idea, but I got my whiskey, I got my friends, I got my band. I'm ready to rock and roll.
We're entering the territory of the false spring over here because we are up in the 70s all week, and it's weird because we're not supposed to be in the 70s in February, at least not usually, but I'm just waiting for the bottom to literally drop out before we get some of Canada's weather that Corey's talking about. So all in due time. But enough about the weather. Let's get into the show. Corey, you and I are joined by another guest, a longtime listener of the show and a frequenter on Twitter. And through patience and diligence, and we appreciate it. Please, everyone, give it up for our friend, our fan, our frequent tweeter, Ryan Powell. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, man. Again, thank you for supporting the show for as long as you have. And we're really, really happy that we got to get you on. I guess to give some backstory, what is your earliest memory or your introduction to Van Halen that you can recall?
Well, it would have had to have started. I mean, I was like, 12, 13, and heard Right Now. And actually, I don't mind admitting that I discovered it from the Crystal Pepsi commercial. I don't know if anybody knows the Crystal Pepsi. It was like test market in Colorado. And of course they're panned and they didn't want to use it for that, but that's what I heard. I'm like, hey, I really like that. Who is that? And my big brother had the For Unlawful Car Knowledge cassette. I wanted it, so he sold it to me, but he wouldn't sell it to me for the $5 we agreed on. He said, I'm going to throw in this 1984 for $3 extra. So I had For Unlawful Car Knowledge and 1984 to listen to for a while.
Not bad. Ooh, good deal for $8. Yeah, that, you made out like a man.
Pardon the pun. The best of both worlds on that one. That's fantastic. And look at that. The fuck album bringing people together. Who would have thought? Good stuff.
And well, appropriate awesome, on Fuck It February, too.
Yeah, that's true. It is Fuck It February, which reminds me, you guys, if you aren't aware, if you missed it last time, the announcement, we are going live once again. So be on the lookout Saturday, February 25th, because it's Fuck It February. And Corey and I decided, fuck it, we're doing it live yet again. So more on that later, but just giving you a little hint. Corey, what is going on in the world of Van Halen news?
Well, I tell you, we're all still reeling from the announcement of the Live Right Here Right Now vinyl release that's coming out on Record Store Day, April 22nd, limited edition red vinyl. It's four LPs, including three tracks that were not originally released, Mine All Mine, Eagles Fly, and This Dream Is Over, actually, from the Fuck album. So I've got Kevin Brown in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, already waiting in line for me. With $100 in hand, ready to pick it up for me. He's got to camp out. There's only 7,500 copies available worldwide. So make sure you're calling your local indie record store, making sure they got you a copy of Live Right Here, Right Now. You know, I kind of grew up on the Fuck album too, and I wore the hell out of Live Right Here, Right Now. I had that on cassette a couple times, had it on CD, dying to get it on vinyl. So I'm very excited about that. Some other stories on the Van Halen news desk. Again, www.vhnd.com. Go get all your Van Halen news there. We have another edition of the Roth show. He's telling some more Van Halen road stories. That's always fun. I see the links on there. Jazz Obrecht releases a complete 1990 audio interview with DLR guitarist Jason Becker. That's going to be a lot of fun. You know, that was right before the release of A Little Ain't Enough, a very underrated Dave album from the 90s. Steve Vai talks about the forensic approach to co-producing Skyscraper with David Lee Roth. That'd be a really good interview, too. And for all you Eddie Van Halen fans, I'm not sure if there are any Eddie Van Halen fans who listen to this show, but there's also a link to listen to Eddie Van Halen's isolated guitar track from 2015's remastered Panama. Holy God, is that great shit.
Ooh, I was not aware of that part of the news, but I am very curious, and let's do this show so I can go listen to that. that sounds exciting. Ryan Powell, are you a record collector, and are you ready to pick up your own vinyl set?
And I actually have some of the old, like, original vinyls from, you know, picked up originally. I kind of have to go online for Live Right Here, Right Now, because I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah. Well, yep, go get your get in line now, as Corey said, because if you don't, those things are going to go like hotcakes, and you don't want to be the only Van Halen fan left out, do you? So get them while they're good. All right, segueing that into the rockin' polls. We do polls every week. You may notice something I noticed actually not that long ago. We have some polls that we forgot to post about in our earlier shows. So be on the lookout for that. Go to our Twitter at podcastwillrock.com. Take a look at the polls. Give us your votes. Last week, we voted on the song. Please remind me of the song. That's Why I Love You. That's the song. Right. That's Why I Love You. There you go. I remember things. What were the poll results for That's Why I Love You?
I'll tell you what, we got a ton of comments on this one. It'll take us a while to get through them all. But the actual official vote tally goes like this. 43% What Dreams Are Made Of, 56% This Dream Is Over. So
the
slight majority of people agreeing with Merkemeyer on
that one.
Look
at that. I feel so, I don't know if the word is validated, but now I'm super curious, because I really want to know what people are saying about it.
Well, I tell you, there's some scathing comments. Let's get right to them. Yelnik McGawa says, I can't stand it, and I'm glad it never got released. Thank God we got a different kind of truth. Better late than never.
How do you really feel, my dude?
Juan Pablo says, hey, guys, you have to listen to the same song sang by Mitch Malloy and Van Halen on YouTube. That version is called It's the Right Time. It's still a demo, but it sounds a lot better. Love the song. Long live Eddie Van Halen. I got to check that out. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, that's Juan Pablo. An interesting piece of information. Cool.
Yep. Our old buddy Scott Monroe chimes in and says, I find myself voting This Dream Is Over with Mark for the first time, but barely. agree with much of what Kelsey Van Halen said. The song rips musically, and the main issue is Gary's vocal delivery slash lyrics. But I have to react to what we listened to, and we heard them not in sync. I can't help but wonder what could have been if this song had been developed properly after they toured in 98, became more comfortable with each other, and polished for the follow-up album. It might have become What Dreams Are Made Of. But as is, it's a subpar demo screaming to be elevated.
Wow. You'll hear no argument from me.
All right. False Premise says, I don't mind the instrumentation so much, but Gary's vocal delivery is subpar. Yep. I think that was pretty much a...
yep.
Yeah, we all agreed with that one. Robert Cato says, Twilly, as we call it in the community when it was first leaked. I love it, but again, I love all Van Halen. I believe this is another one Eddie Van Halen had written years earlier, because we know potentially David Lee Roth worked on it, then Mitch Malloy, who released his own version, and finally Gary.
So it went through multiple iterations, that, and yet it still ended up the way it did. That's very curious.
Thrilla Art says, where's Mike Tyson when you need him? I've got a couple of ears for him to bite off after that song. There's some good stuff on Van Halen 3, but the dream is over with this. So, so over.
Wow. I mean, I wasn't as down on it as you were, but I get it. I get it.
Mike Griffith, I think, pretty much sums up my feelings. He says, this one is interesting. Should have been on the record instead of Josefina. This track needs remastering. The entire record could use Don Landy, but it's a decent pop tune. Reminds me a little of Feels So Good. It barely makes it to What Dreams Are Made Of, like 5150. Ah, good job.
Nice. Nicely done.
An account says GHSAP McPeak says, yikes, Gary owes us an apology. A bad song left off a bad album. Not as bad as I remember, however. Unrealized potential, kind of like Van Halen 3.
Unrealized potential. That's probably the subheading of that album, I would say.
I don't know. We got a Van Halen 3 fan on the call here, Ryan. Is that a little unfair?
Oh, I can see where people are coming from with it. I mean, there are definitely opportunities to improve it, but I still enjoy pretty much every track on it.
All right. Next comment comes from You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast. I'm old enough to remember that when this song first leaked, I had to download it off the internet in multiple files because of dial-up modem speeds. I then had to stitch those three or four files together to make one song. Today, kids just find it on YouTube. Now get off my lawn.
I love that you aged yourself, and then also you really didn't give us a definitive it's yay or nay. You just said, like, yeah, I downloaded it and it took a long time, so that's it. Like, all right, did you like it?
We'll never know. We'll have to get him back on the show and they can tell us, but
yeah.
Our new friends from the Dissect That Film podcast say, this is the only album I've never listened to all the way through. Gary is a great singer, just not for Van Halen. This song vocally is a mess, but Eddie shredding it always brings a smile to my face. Gary is a great singer. I think he could be good for Van Halen. It just, you know, could have been handled a little better, maybe.
Correct.
Just watch the live videos. Yes. Them on tour was on fire.
Yeah. Our old buddy Sean Geek from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast says, I like a demo as much as the next person. Actually, probably even more than the next person, but I can't even with this one. Glimpses of brilliance, yes, but I couldn't get past it.
No argument here once again.
Yeah. Rava Flav, who's always quite wordy in his tweets, just said nope.
Keeping it simple, we like that.
Yeah, straight and to the point. That's why I love you, Rava Flav. Josh says, musically it's a gem, lyrically and vocally it's 93 cents worth of government issued cheese. Now that's a thing in America, right? Government issued cheese.
Apparently it is. I don't know that I've ever had a government issued cheese, probably in my lifetime. I don't recall, but yeah, that does happen.
I just find the concept odd, because we don't have that in Canada. Government issued cheese.
It's definitely odd, and I can't even begin to figure out how to explain it.
All right. Wabo and Cabo says, I so want to like this, but Gary's vocals just didn't mesh with Eddie's guitar like it did with Dave and Sammy. It makes everything they did together very challenging to listen to.
That's an interesting comment, because the whole time Gary feels like he's trying his best to do an imitation of both Sammy and Dave in this song. So in that regard, it was like, well, okay, it sounds like, to me anyway, he wasn't clashing against the guitar because of his vocals. It was just because he was sounding more or less like Sammy and Dave. But the thing is, you knew he was making the imitation, so it kind of sours the experience. But that's an interesting comment. I just wanted to point that out.
All right. Greg Zito says, if they had finished the Dave version with Mike's bass and harmonies, it could have been a good one. I agree.
I mean, yeah. Get Mikey in there at any time, and it's a win to me.
Here's a good comment from a Trockman 5150. Says, can't blame Gary. Eddie was all about LSD, bracket lead singer disease, during this era. Gary did what he was told. Better question is, why didn't the producer or record label speak up? Because Eddie was the producer, along with Mike Post, the composer. No one was challenging the Van Halen brothers at that time. Huge potential for this tune if David Lee Roth sang it.
I definitely think that Eddie could be could use a contrary voice as part of the process for sure.
Absolutely,
I think that would have helped more people appreciate it for sure.
Yeah, you can't be surrounded by yes men. You need somebody who's going to have a critical ear for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like Kevin Brown, who says Gary is totally doing adultery, not DLR. Think the talk singing from You Better, You Bet. Great lick, not overproduced, and it kind of sounds more like early Van Halen. Fantastic musically, way better than almost anything else on Van Halen 3. Weak lyrics for sure. Hashtag apologies to Gary. Hashtag what dreams are kind of made of.
I love that. That's become the new hashtag.
Yeah, it's WDAKMO. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Torben Anderson says, that was so hard to listen to. Probably the worst Van Halen song of all time. Gary sounds like a drunk guy singing karaoke at 4 a.m. Ouch.
I think we've already covered the worst Van Halen song of all time, I think, ironically, of the same album. And that's just my opinion anyway. But I wouldn't call this one the worst of all time. But, you know, that's fine. You should go back and listen to I don't even want to invoke its name. Never mind. This is fine.
No, that's a song Ryan likes, and Ryan is currently on his Twitter.
That's true. He's
pitting song against song. I'm curious. I wouldn't even use the word worst. I don't know if you can use the word worst when it comes to Van Halen. What's maybe your least favorite Van Halen song so far?
So it's really hard to tell, which is why I'm really interested in the results of like the head-to-head matchups, because and I don't really know yet, because some songs have come up more than others, so it's not fair to like compare counts yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that how many say I would actually be on the lowest for me. I really appreciate a lot that it has to offer, and So I don't know what my least favorite is, but I'll check back in after I get through 8,200 more matchups.
You're almost there, my friend.
That matchup will be hilarious, especially if it's how many say I versus that's why I love you.
I'll be sure to ask Corey what he thinks. Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan is actually a big fan of Spanked. So if we spin that tonight, it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Oh, boy.
David Lee Smith says, Gary sounds like he's bored out of his skull here. While musically, I think is okay, Ed's tone doesn't do much for me. And that was one thing we liked, was Ed's tone. Add Gary and it sounds like a tune I wouldn't go back to. Like the majority of Van Halen 3. Looks like the loving didn't go well since the dream is over.
It is over. Apparently so. But yeah, I get it.
Yep. Der Erse says, sounds like the song was unfinished. Well, we obviously know it was, because it's not a completed finished track. Seems like Eddie and Al came up with a great sound structure and Gary provides some lyrics to it without knowing where this should go.
Could be. Or could be whatever idea he had was shut down, so he just had to kind of come up with something else a little bit more in Van Halen's days past, but as we've discovered, that does not work.
No, we were speculating on the show because on the in the Van Halen encyclopedia, CJ mentioned that Eddie and Gary really kind of clashed over the vocal style and over the lyrics. Somebody, he was either on Twitter through an email, said Eddie actually received the vocal tracks from Gary and was not happy. So if that's true, then that's kind of the way that went, and it would make some sense.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Jonathan P. Todd says, I can think of four songs on Van Halen 3, which this should have replaced. Well, how many say, I think I would agree with that one.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Josephine is not getting a lot of love. We haven't covered that one yet, so I'm not going to tip my hand on what I think of that one. But he doesn't list the four songs. He just congratulates Kelsey and Jeff Saunders for a nice episode, and then hashtag save Gary, hashtag with apologies to Gary. Boy, our old friend, George. Oh, and he's usually so positive. He's going to come back on the show here. Says, this song is abysmal, half finished and barely listenable. Y'all were way too kind to this one.
Probably, but only because I honestly did not feel so enraged by it like I did with other songs. Like I said, like I wanted to actually really like it, and I thought maybe it could be saved, but it just couldn't for me. But so, but I didn't think it was abysmal. But that's you know, hey, if it didn't work for you that way, then kudos.
Yep. Robert Cato says, I believe Mitch Malloy also stated he did not think it sounded good, but when Mitch backed out, Gary was in, or so the story goes, those 96 MTV Music Awards, man, DLR and his antics. Oh, yes. Everyone remembers the 96 MTV Music Awards. I remember watching those on TV thinking, oh, my God, Van Halen's getting back together. And, oh, my God, Dave's still a jackass. And then wasn't long after, oh, my God, David's out.
David's out. Yeah, that was a talk of the household when that happened.
It was a roller coaster for sure.
Absolutely.
A very short one, but yes.
Here's something you don't read every day in the Twitter comments from Jeff Brewer. I agree with Mark on this one. Oh my God, hell is frozen over.
Wow.
It takes a lot for me to vote down a Van Halen song, but the lyrics and melody on this one are just not good enough. Sometimes Ed's playing can save even the lamest of lyrical transgressions from either DLR or Sammy, but not this time for Gary. Ed was working with a singer named Mitch Malloy right after Sammy left and thought he was going to be Van Halen's next singer. He put lyrics and melody to these same musical ideas. It's called It's the Right Time. It's demo quality, but the vocal medleys are better than this. And regrettably, because of work, I haven't had a chance to check that out yet, but I'm very much going to. So thank you, everybody who suggested listening to the Mitch Malloy version. Absolutely. Robert Cato's back, says, if it was produced properly, I think it would have been a hit. Should have been included on the album. One note about the singing is the story that Eddie Van Halen has told in interviews. I believe he sent Gary the tape and Gary recorded his vocals on his own. Eddie Van Halen stated it was not good. So that's where I got that from. It was from Robert. Uh-huh. Thank you very much for that, sir. Matt Lacasse says, if I had to rank the bottom up of the entire catalog, it would go, how many say I, learning to see, that's why I love you. It's the worst vocal I've ever heard. So bad it sinks a potentially cool Van Halen song. Cutting room floor for a reason. I do agree with his bottom two there, though. That'd probably be my bottom two as well.
Interesting. Okay.
Gene Hickey says this album should have all been unreleased tracks. It's hard to thumbs down this knowing it's unfinished. There's enough here musically. If it made the record, I'd like to think they'd put more effort into lyrics, vocals, mixing. But judging by the rest of Van Halen 3 songs, it wouldn't be much anyway. Ooh, Gene's not usually that negative either.
No, he's not. But yeah, I'm with you there. So far on this journey, I've listened to so much of Van Halen 3 and it has not been a fun time. So yeah, I think I'm with you.
Without You, Still a Banger. I'll always love that song.
I mean, that one's a good one. Yeah, that's the good one.
All right, here's our first Chasmataz tweet. I can't vote till I finish listening. I'll admit I'm nervous. We'll see how he feels later on in the Twitter thread. Some dude named Ryan Powell says, glad this got some love on the episode. Really dig the music, but also need to defend Gary here. Not his best performance, but he really comes into his own towards the end. Lyrics are solid, too. I enjoyed the One Flew Over the Cuckoo reference, i.e. I'd be crazy without you.
Explain yourself.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. A play, Jack Nicholson movie. That was a reference.
Bravo. Bravo.
Our good friends from the Deep Purple podcast say this song sounds like it could work, but the vocals just don't seem to fit at all. Almost sounds like they took the vocal track from another song and put it on top of this instrumental. If they had redone it or finished it properly, it probably would be a good track.
That seems to be the main consensus.
Yeah.
It's like, they should have finished it and done it proper. Like, yeah, well, I mean, you could say that about any of these songs, but that you're not wrong, though. You're not wrong.
And now our final two tweets come from Chaz, who I got to give a plug to here. Chaz is starting his own podcast. He decided what Mark and I do looks easy enough. He's going to do it himself. Mm-hmm. So he got himself a co-host, and they're going to break down the Metallica Lou Reed collaboration, Lulu.
Wow.
It's called Regarding Lulu. It's going to be dropping very soon. Chaz actually shared the premiere episode with me, and it's really good. The music is not. I didn't listen to Lulu when it came out, and they're playing the first track, and it is fucking terrible. But Chaz is a Metallica fan. The co-host is more of a Lou Reed fan, and neither really seem to like Regarding Lulu, but they actually read the Lulu plays as research going into it. So they're going to, take it more like a, look at it through a different lens, hopefully. But tell you, it's going to be a rough listen for those boys, I'm afraid. Back to Chaz. He says, I upvoted. This would have been one of the best on the album. Wholeheartedly disagree with Mark, pun intended. Agree with Kelsey. Could have been a hit with some more polish. Was a mistake to cut, babe. Without you being
shocker.
The best. He goes on to say, without you being the best track on the album. Thank you. I agree. Love the amp buzz. We all do. This would have been number two for sure and probably a hit. I think Gary could have found a sweet spot with some more time. Damn shame.
You can find Chaz at Orridge Chaz Charles if you want to direct your anger and hate tweets at him and tell him what in the hell is wrong with you. But
I agree well with said, Chaz. Chaz. Well said, Chaz.
Well said.
But also listen to his podcast while he's at it. While you're at it,
I tell you, it's really interesting. I'm just going to mute it when the song kicks in and cut it back for the commentary, because from what I heard of that first track from Lulu, oh my God, it makes how many say I seem like fucking Beethoven.
Well, okay.
Oh, it does.
Now you're just trying to see you're backing me into the corner and be like, go ahead, Mark, I dare you to listen to it. Like, all right, fine. Cause I admit I have no recollection of listening to this, the Lou Reed collaboration with Metallica. I love Metallica. I enjoy a lot of Lou Reed. I wouldn't say I'm a super fan. The two combining on paper doesn't sound like it would work, based on what you're telling me, Corey. No, it doesn't.
On the one track I heard. I've only heard the one track, but oh my God,
that's fair.
Legitimately, maybe the worst thing I ever heard. And I love Metallica.
But a lot of people, side Metallica, tangent here. A lot of people were really down on S&M as well. I don't know, but they're out there. Trust
Holy
me, they're
cow.
Out. Basically, if it's anything after And Justice for All, people shit on it. You have those types of Metallica fans. But I personally think S&M's one of their best albums. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And SMN2 is great as well. Yeah.
So hey, the Lulu might actually work for me. We'll see.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, let's talk about it next week. This week, we got some business to do, my friend. What do you say?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
See, we get this fucking wheel primed up and spin it.
It's time to spin the wheel. But before we do everyone's favorite thing. Take out your glasses, please. We are manifesting. Mm. So, now that Corey and I are joined with a guest this time, Ryan, we throw it right to you, man. Based on earlier conversations and earlier comments, I have an idea of maybe what particular era you might want to hear tonight, but why don't you go ahead and say if you have a particular track in mind. What do you want the wheel to spin for us tonight?
So I like what people have been doing where they pick from each era. And I would have some really fun picks from each era to call out, but I'm going to put all my energy behind Right Now. I would love to talk about that one.
That's the one. That's, you've been waiting for it. You've been poo-pooing every time I call for it because you haven't been on the show, but here you are. So
I'm here now. Corey, so let's go. Yeah, yeah.
You're here, right here, right now. So it's time. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead. Like, I am going to double that manifestation. I would love to talk about right now. Obviously, I keep trying to bring it out. So I'm with you, Ryan. Two votes for right now. Corey, how about you? Are you going to be the contrarian like your other podcaster, John Mariano?
Absolutely I am, because I don't think right now is coming tonight. I just don't get that feeling. And as mm-hmm. the primary manifester, being a three-time member of the Manifest Club, it's just not going to happen, guys. I think that one's going to come on a live show. I'm hoping for something from Van Halen 3, because we got Ryan on the show. Give me Josefina. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that tonight. What do you say?
You want to do
talk about that.
Yeah.
Two Van Halen 3 songs in a row. Ugh, what are you doing to me? It's fine. You know what? I don't blame you. I blame Mariano. Okay. He's had a tremendously negative effect on you, all these podcasts you guys are doing together. Everyone, we're going to start a fund, a Save Corey fund. Save him from John Mariano's bad influence.
You know, I
while you're
promise,
at it, go listen to Backtracks.
I have a promise that Mariano, if he's not getting laid, will be at the live show on Saturday. So considering the odds of him getting laid are astronomical, we're probably going to see the Cult of Mariano on fucking February. It's going to be magical.
Oh boy. Now I really want him to show up on the show regardless of what happens, because I just think sometimes a little bit of chaos, especially during Fuck It February, is just what the doctor ordered. So
that's right.
All right. We have we've manifested our songs. We are bringing it forth. It is time to tell Sammy to finish warming up. Corey, if you're ready. Ryan, if you're ready, I'm ready. It's time to spin that wheel.
All right, we're going to prime this sucker for you boys. You both picked a song, same song from the Fuck album. So let's shuffle this thing four times, shall we? F-U-C-K. All right, here we go.
I like where it started. Gonna go.
Oh, this is gonna be interesting. Where have all the good times gone from Diver Down?
We're taking a stroll back to Diver Down. Yeah, it's funny. This is the album that at one point we had talked about. That's the one we've heard from the least. It was like maybe it was just one song we had heard from it for a while. And then it was almost as if, as soon as we said that, as soon as we spoke it out loud, the wheel has been kind of peppering Diver Down tracks at us at random times. And we're getting it seems to be a consistent one these days. So that is it's interesting. It's interesting what the wheel decides to give us. And obviously, with the exception of Corey, my manifestation powers are weak. I must train. I must teach me your ways, Jedi Master.
Well, I didn't hit either. I certainly wasn't expecting a Diver Down song. But Where Have All the Good Times Gone, of course, is a cover off of Diver Down, originally written and recorded by the Kinks. I'll just read you a couple of quotes here. One from David Lee Roth, who said, quote, "We're capable of playing six different Kinks songs because at one time back in our bar days, I bought a double album from K-Tel or something that had 30 Kinks tunes on it. We learned all of one side and played them into the dirt during the club gigs, twice a night, each one, because they sounded so good and they were great to dance to, et cetera, et cetera."
Mm.
Eddie goes on to say, totally. Eddie says, quote, "The solo was more sounds than lines. I ran the edge of my pick up and down the strings for some of those effects. I think I used my Echoplex in that song."
Oh, all right. For you, you gearheads and gear nerds out there. I'll tell you, their version of this song I'm familiar with least because I'm more familiar with the Kinks' actual version of it. So this one, I don't know. I couldn't tell you when the last time I heard Van Halen's rendition of it was. Cannot think of it. I can tell you, I've heard the Kinks version of it many, many times throughout the years, but I can't even recall what this sounds like. So this is going to be a pretty fresh take that you're about to hear. How about you two? You got any fond memories of Van Halen's version of the song specifically, or just the song?
I mean, it's on the cover heavy Diver Down, which I think there's a lot of good stuff on there that gets unnoticed because of that kind of reputation. But it's a good cover.
As most Van Halen covers are. I'm not going to tip my hand and let you know which way I'm leaning, but I'm a fan of the Kinks and I'm a fan of this album. So what do you say? Let's play a little Where Have All the Good Times Gone from 1982's Diver Down. All right, Mark, compare it to the Kinks version. What do you think so far?
It's very faithful, but it's also very Van Halen. And I mean that, you know, in all the best kind of ways. Not a lot that's surprising. And now that I'm hearing it, I'm not sure I've actually heard Van Halen's version of this song altogether. My Diver Down spins have been limited, to say the least. But I like it so far. If you didn't know the Kinks version of the song, you would think this is just a Van Halen banger so far.
Mm-hmm. Ryan?
Yeah, that lead in just reminds me of like, oh yeah, this is the first song on the album. Cause this is the first thing that plays. The first time I was checking this album out, when I was going back through the catalog, and has a great sound. I think the thing that stood out the most to me in that little part that we heard is Mike, the bass is pretty decently heavy in the mix, and he's doing some interesting stuff there. So when it's kind of interesting because it's a really simple riff, but you have the same riff in both the verse and the chorus. But listen to how Eddie's playing it differently. In the chorus, he's pretty heavy and kind of longer notes and kind of heavier with it. And then he kind of pulls back and it's a little bit more staccato and kind of separated during the verses. It's just kind of an interesting dynamic, even though from a riff perspective, it's kind of pretty straightforward. But what Ed's doing with it is really interesting.
He went from legato to staccato. Good shout out to that word. Yeah. For all you music nerds out there.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
There you go.
Now, according to the Van Halen Encyclopedia, which again, we recommend everybody go check out, a riff from this version of the Kinks cover was taken from the unreleased Van Halen version of the song Young and Wild, which I don't think I've ever heard. Has anyone on the call heard Young and Wild?
It does not spring to mind. That does not mean I haven't at some point, but I couldn't tell you if you put a gun to my head.
I tell you, we got a lot of. No, I put out a poll this week saying, should we add more unreleased tracks to the wheel before we finish with the Van Halen catalog? And the majority are saying absolutely. So we have to try and find a version of Young and Wild, and we can point out the similarity.
Perhaps so.
right. We kind of heard that pick slide there, didn't we?
We did. We heard it, and I heard a little dive bomb and for diver down. And I mean, as the kids say, that solo is fire. Say what you want about how the rest of the song is going and whether or not they should have covered it or not. But and also, I said that it's remaining pretty faithful to the original, but also it sounds very Van Halen. This solo is a perfect reminder to everyone listening. Hey, we're still Van Halen. Let me give me a second. Let me show you what I got. That's Eddie showing off, because you're Eddie Van Halen. Why wouldn't you show off? So nothing terrible or overcritical to say about that solo at all for me.
Yeah, it's a really simple, straightforward solo. I mean, by Ed's standards, it's kind of just staying within the form and just adding a little bit of flavor to things. And I love when they all hit get those hits together, the dum 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 dum. That was just a nice little kind of taking it a little bit at a time, not hot for teacher level, but just a little bit to kind of mix things up.
Oh yeah.
And just checking this on the Van Halen news deck, apparently it's the guitar solo we just heard that was taken from the unreleased song Young and Wild.
Oh, I see.
Such an easy game for you to play. But then let's face it, things are easier today. Guess you need some bringing down. Get your feet back on the ground. Won't you tell me where have all the good times gone? 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 Where have all the good times gone?
All right, where have all the good times gone from Diver Down? Before we get into the voting, Mark, let's play my favorite game, Price is Right Rules. How many times has Van Halen played Where Have All the Good Times Gone in concert? Let's start with you, Mark.
Well, because how often do they play a lot of their Diver Down tunes? I'm going to say a very modest 70 times.
70 times? All right. Ryan.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, especially a cover. They don't usually go back to those as much from the nostalgia perspective. They like to pull out their old gems that they wrote. I'm going to say 30.
It's actually 89 times. Mark Meyer was closest. You won the
How
Showcase Showdown.
89 times.
The last time they played it live, according to setlist.fm, February 11th, 1983 in Buenos Aires.
So it was like that tour, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That tour and that's it.
Yeah, that tour. Yeah. Buenos Aires. Well, that's a good place to, where have all the good times gone? Here in Buenos Aires.
There, exactly. Yeah.
Well, then, there you go. Where have all the good times gone? Indeed. We'll see if we can keep the good times rolling, because now we vote on it. And I'm going to start, of course, with our guest of honor, Ryan Powell. Ryan, You've mentioned your love for Van Halen 3, which I don't get, but good on you. And we did not discuss a Van Halen 3 track this time. What would you give Where Have All the Good Times Gone, a What Dreams Are Made Of? Or for you, is this simple cover just Where the Dream Is Over?
I mean, it's... no surprise that I prefer the things that Van Halen wrote as a rule. I really love the songwriting and everything else, but they do put their own spin on their covers, and this is a really solid one. I was just thinking, as they kind of faded out with the chorus, it's kind of interesting that their harmonies aren't three-part in this, that it seems like Ed and Dave are doubling on that melody, and it's just Mikey that's kind of soaring high above that. Usually it's a little bit thicker with that, so I thought that was an interesting twist. But yeah, definitely this is something that I enjoy listening to, and I would come back to it, probably not as much as other tracks on in their catalog, but definitely What Dreams Are Made Of.
Well, all right, good stuff. And there's a vote for yes so far. I throw it to my podcasting partner, Corey. Where have all the good times gone? Are they gone indeed and the dream is over, or are they not quite gone? And so that's what dreams are made of.
The good times never die with this band, Mark. You should know that by now. I love this cover. And apologies to Kevin Brown. I think Van Halen does the Kinks better than the Kinks does. I think they killed it with You Really Got Me Now, and I think they killed it with this version too over the Kinks version. Ray Davies, a great songwriter. Performance-wise, they don't hold a candle to bands like Van Halen whenever they do their stuff. This is a far superior cover for me to the Kinks version, and a great kickoff to Diver Down. I know Eddie doesn't want to, would rather bomb with his own stuff than be the world's best cover band. But if, God damn it, if they aren't like the world's best cover band, because I love Where Have All the Good Times Gone. So it comes down to you, Mark Meyer. You voted against the majority on the panel anyway. Last week, we have two yes votes for Where Have All the Good Times Gone. Where does your vote lie, my friend? Is this what dreams are made of, or is this dream over?
I enjoy the Kinks. I really like the Kinks. But I echo everything Corey just said, especially the part where they do the Kinks better than the Kinks do, because it's Van Halen. I also echo literally everything that Ryan said. There's not too much more I have to add. If it's a Van Halen cover, if it's a cover that Van Halen is doing, chances are, because we've already seen the evidence, it's right here in Diver Down, they do it a lot better than the original, even when they're not going so far outside the realm of what the song is. Like, they're not bastardizing the Kinks version of it. They're not bastardizing Oh You Really Got Me or anything of that sort. No, when they do covers, they do it very well. They just happen to do it in the Van Halen flavor, and let's just be real, Van Halen flavor tastes the sweetest. And I don't make the rules, I just follow them. So of course, if we must apologize to Kevin Brown, I guess, sorry bro, but
I know he likes the Kinks, that's all.
Oh, okay, well, as do I, but I you can't give me a Kinks song and play two different bands, and one of them happens to be Van Halen and the other is the band that wrote it. Like, it's Van Halen every time. I'm sorry. It's Van Halen every time. This song just cooks. It rocks. I really enjoy the kind of off-tempo stuff they do. The whole band kind of give it a little fresh approach. Love the solo, obviously. What more can you say? This song cooks. It's a rightful introduction to the rest of the album of what you're in for in terms of the covers especially. So yeah, that is what dreams are made of. Where have all the good times gone? We're still having them. That's where. Yay. A clean sweep across the board. We all vote yay. That only happens so often. So we're calling it a big, big win. So there you are. But hey, you guys, we want to hear from you. So be sure to check our Twitter at Podcast Will Rock. Check out the Rockin' poll that will be up shortly. Well, if you're listening to this right now, it's already up. So go vote and tell us what you think of it. Did you hate the song? Do you absolutely think Van Halen should never do cover tunes? Then please let us know why on our Twitter. Yeah, anything else to add here at the end, gentlemen? Corey?
Nope, just follow Ryan Powell on Twitter and tell us a little bit about what you're doing there when it comes to Van Halen, my friend.
Yeah, so the fact that I kept upvoting pretty much every song that you guys have spun this time is just like, well, that's not very interesting to me in terms of like comparing. It's like, if I'm going to upvote everything, I want to know how they compare to each other. So I wanted to do a tournament. If I did some regular tournament bracket, though, two good songs go against each other and one of them, drops off. So we can't have that. So I wanted to do a round robin where every song goes against every other song. And I committed to it before I did the math and okay, cool. Like 700 some songs, whatever. I can do that. You guys retreated. It kind of blew up a little bit. And then it's like, no. It's like 8,300 and some matchups. So this is going to be a long project of love for me, but it's been really fun actually pitting songs against each other because I love them all. But like when push comes to shove, no pun intended, which one wins? So yeah, love for people to follow along that journey, Airhead 3 on Twitter, and we'll see where it goes.
That is going to be some fun stuff. I need to go ahead and jump up on that, and because I love me a good tournament, especially when it involves teams that I love, and who doesn't love the Van Halen team? That's going to be some good stuff. Everyone go follow him. Take part in the brackets. Corey, where can people find the show outside of Twitter, and what we got going on?
Well, speaking of teams, they could find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Let's just quickly run down the slate of shows for you on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. We have myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. John and I also do a show called Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking music in movies. Scott Haskin, of course, is doing the Uriah Heep, the Magicians podcast. Nate and John at the Deep Purple podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. Rye at Sabbath Bloody podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at the In the Lap of the Pods. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, that's a American Music versus Canadian Music Podcast, that's pretty interesting, Greg and Jonathan again at So Far, So Pod, So What, Kevin Brown at the Tom Petty Project, and Kevin and his buddy Randy are doing Seaside Pod Review, yet another Queen podcast. Quinn at And Volume for All, and Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at Rock Roulette Podcast. If you're looking for Mark and I and our shenanigans, you can go to our website, www.podcastlerock.com. Get yourself some merch, vote in our polls, and check out our live show Saturday, February 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're saying, fuck it. We're going to post a link on Twitter of the Zoom room. Anybody wants to come on until you piss me off and I kick you out. Maybe we'll spin our regular wheel. Maybe we'll spin a solo wheel, which I compiled today that has well over 250 songs on it. I'm also compiling a live wheel with some of Van Halen's, I'm not even going to say like best live performances, but most noteworthy live performances, because a lot of people are saying, don't put Us Festival on there. They were drunk and they suck, but it's noteworthy. You know, it's a very famous performance, so it's probably going on there too. And there's still some good stuff on that show, if I remember correctly. So we might say, fuck it and do a Barry Manilow song. I don't know. We're going to see just how drunk we get and how much fun we have. So yeah, don't want to miss that coming up this Saturday, February 25th.
Right on. And you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. For a selfish plug, you're listening to this on Friday. So if you are in the Nashville area Friday nights at the Vinyl Lounge, come on down and see the band that I play in, Rose of Sharon, a tribute to Killswitch Engage. We've got a whole night full of tributes. We had so much fun the first time. We're going to do it again, and we're going to keep on doing it. So the next show is tonight, February 24th, at the Vinyl Lounge. We are playing with Symptom of the Universe, a Black Sabbath tribute, and Vulgar Display of Nashville, Pantera tribute. It's going to be quite a fun night of full of metal, heaviness, and nostalgia. And what more could you possibly want if you're going to visit Music City? So come on out. It's going to be a fun time. There it is. Ryan Powell, once again, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for your patience. My dude, we've been doing the show for a little while. You've been with us every step of the way, and you're just now getting on the show. We apologize, but we appreciate everything you do. We appreciate you being very active on Twitter, being responsive, and just being an overall cool guy. So thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
The fun doesn't stop there, because as Corey said, we're going live this Saturday, February 25th. So be on the lookout on our social media for the link. So if you've been patiently waiting like Ryan and you still haven't gotten your chance to get on the show, then you better act now. Strike while the iron is hot. But be forewarned, we will be indulging in spirits. And sometimes the spirit can get away from us if we have too much. So you've been warned. And I think Corey's message about kicking you off if you piss him off is mostly directed to John Mariano. So you've been warned, John. You know, to behave or misbehave. I don't know. I worship chaos sometimes, but not here on this show. We worship Van Halen. That's what it's all about. Just a couple of guys, not experts, just fans, talking about a band that we love, that we all love, and that's why you're here, right? That's why we do it. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later. We'll be right back.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.